A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today. To kick off the week, whole bunch to get into. Conference Championship Week in college football. We'll dive into that. Week 14 in the NFL. We'll also dive into that. We do have Monday Night Football. One more game to go in Week 13. Patriots-Giants. We'll talk about that game on the show today. And then we'll also talk some college basketball and get into some NFL futures as well. Whole bunch to talk about. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, love to hear you chime in throughout the show. Hit us up on the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on X, or on YouTube. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. We check in with our Monday regular, Isaac Shade. Give him a follow on X at Isaac Shade. Host of Locked On College Hoops and Locked On Heels podcast as well. And Isaac, we got a new national championship favorite at BetMGM, the Michigan Wolverines at plus 700. And it's pretty easy to understand why after watching what they did to Vegas and certainly against Auburn and against Gonzaga. Are you ready to say Michigan is the team to beat after what you saw transpire last week, or the jury's still out for you and you want to see a little bit more?
The latter is the truth, PJ. Look, how could you not but be wildly impressed by what Michigan did? They came into Players Era Festival, yes, undefeated, but just kind of like, okay, that's fine, fellas. And then they flipped a switch, beat those three teams, including San Diego State, to the two you mentioned, PJ, by a combined 110 points. What are we doing here? It's insanity. But yes, I do need to wait and see more. There's still the front court for Michigan is insane, but there's a little bit of a wait and see approach with the back court. It's kind of the opposite of what happened to UConn last year. UConn goes out to Maui and goes 0-3. And it's like, I'm not selling the farm on UConn after that. Same way, I think the reality of Michigan is somewhere in between. So I'm not yet coming off Purdue as my national champion favorite. But Michigan, they're revolting right on up, boy. Let's see what happens.
It's going to make the Big Ten super interesting. So right now, Isaac, you would still have Purdue as your best team in the country, and you put Michigan as number two? Yeah.
Three. I'm going UConn at number two right now. UConn, now back to full strength. They got Braylon Mullins back late last week for the first time this season, their best freshman player this year. And they're not full strength in terms of like everybody's full go and all that, but they've got all their personnel. That's what I mean by that. I already believed in UConn at a high level. They're also getting Terrace Reed back from injury. And so really good things for UConn. I loved what I see from Dan Hurley's team. The pedigree's there. Give me them second. But I am, PJ, to your point, sliding Michigan into that top tier right now alongside Purdue and UConn.
I like it. All right, let's talk about some of these conferences because, again, now that we watched some of these teams play one another, we're starting to get better clarity. These prices continue to move. ACC right now, Duke is your favorite at plus 105. Houston in the Big 12 is your favorite. These are to win the regular season titles, plus 210. Michigan overtakes Purdue. They're plus 140 to win the Big 10. And Florida is still the favorite, even after a tough little start here in the season. They're plus 375 to win the SEC. So in the Power Four, Isaac, all these conferences are plus money. Of the favorites, though, which one are you most confident wins their regular season title? Would it be Duke, Houston, Michigan, or Florida?
I'm not confident in any of those, and obviously the plus money speaks to that, but I think I'd have to go with Duke, PJ, and here's why. Part of it is Duke has looked really good so far. Cam Boozer, oh my goodness. In a year full of talented freshmen everywhere, the depth, the breadth of it, he might be the singular most consistent one. Just dropped 35 last week in a big time win over Arkansas on Thanksgiving Day. But with Duke also, it's the lack of challengers as the, like, you look at Houston and all the challengers they've got: Arizona, Iowa State, BYU, Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, Sparty, Florida, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, all of that. In the ACC, actually think I my preseason pick was Louisville to win. I'm not going to come off of that yet because there's been no reason to. But outside of Louisville, North Carolina's like, okay, maybe. NC State took some hot hits last week. And so I think Duke makes the most sense because of the lack of competition. But what I'd really love to do, PJ, is zoom out to the Power Five, which is what we do in college basketball, include the Big East, and give me UConn, because St. John's is a head-scratcher right now, and they're minus money. But if you're holding me to the Power Four, I'm going Duke in the ACC.
I would agree with you. UConn, again, like you said, they're minus money. All the other conferences, they're plus money. So UConn, they certainly seem like the team to beat right now. All right, so you're going with Duke as of those four teams that you would like to win the conference. On the flip side, between Houston, Michigan, and Florida, who would be the least confident team that you feel like would win their league this year?
Houston doesn't quite look like Houston yet, but I think they're going to get there because I believe in Kelvin Sampson and the veterans that they've got. I'd actually go Florida here, PJ, and the reason is similar to what I said about Michigan. The front court is the best in the nation, which, by the way, makes me very excited to see Cam Boozer play against them on Tuesday night in the ACC-SEC Challenge. But with Florida, the question right now is the backcourt of Xavion Lee and Boogie Fland. I think they're eventually going to kind of get things figured out, but right now, I'm not sure. And when you've got Alabama always breathing down their neck, Kentucky, once they get healthy, Tennessee, I know they just lost to Kansas, but you got Arkansas with all their pieces. John Calipari teams get better. So I would have Florida as the least certain to win of the Power Four favorites right now.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Talking with Isaac Shade here on Send It In. Give Isaac a follow on X at Isaac Shade, and check out the check out the Locked On College Hoops podcast and the Locked On Heels podcast as well. Isaac does a great job hosting both of those shows. All right, Isaac, let's talk about some under the radar teams right during Feast Week, because again, Michigan, a lot of these other top tier teams get all the headlines and all the talking points, but who is a team that maybe flew under the radar during Feast Week that caught your eye and that maybe you're buying some stock on?
Here's what's funny. You're going to laugh when I call this an under the radar team, but I'm going with Kansas, and here's why. Kansas loses that game to North Carolina the first week of the season. They lose Darren Peterson. Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. But then everyone was selling, yours included, yours truly included, because there ain't much around Darren Peterson. Then they go to Vegas last week and go 3-0. Yes, the wins, the first two were Notre Dame and Syracuse, but then they took care of business against Tennessee, a Tennessee team that is always great with Rick Barnes at the helm. Marco Jackson goes for a career high in that game, 17. And so I'm rebuying a little bit of Kansas stock, but if I had to go true under the radar, I'd have to go to another Big 12 team. That's TCU. They lost the season opener to New Orleans, and it's like, well, that's about what I expected. But then they nearly beat Michigan, and we're all like, that's cute. And then Michigan just did what they did, and it's like, oh, okay, TCU, who then goes on to win the Rady Invitational last week, beating Florida, aforementioned Gators, and Wisconsin, both of whom are ranked. So I think we need to take another look at TCU. I'm not suddenly vaulting them into the top 25, but knocking off back-to-back top 25 teams, I think there's a little under the radar about the Horned Frogs. Let's take a look at them.
Yeah, Jamie Dixon can still coach some ball, no doubt about that. All right, ACC-SEC Challenge. You mentioned we're getting Florida and Duke on Tuesday. A lot of people are looking forward to that matchup. We got Carolina, Kentucky as well, then some interesting other games. Which one are you most excited for? Is it the Duke-Florida game, or is it another game on the board?
Oh, it's LSU at Boston College. No, I'm just kidding. come on, what are we doing there? I am super excited about the Final Four teams playing from last year, Florida at Duke. But with the Florida's cracks, I think Duke's going to kind of run away with that game. The Carolina-Kentucky game marred a little bit by injuries on both sides. So I'm actually most excited about and looking forward to Wednesday night's premier games. That's Louisville at Arkansas, both of whom I think can be challengers for the regular season conference championship. Which of those teams is going to make a statement down in Fayetteville on Wednesday night? And then the next tier down from that, similarly, NC State at Auburn. How does NC State rebound from what happened to them last week? And similarly, Auburn starting to find their way maybe a little bit here with Stephen Pearl at the helm. Can NC State go and get a win on the Plains and help themselves out a little bit? Those two games are the ones I've got my eyeballs on.
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, Coach Cal going up against Louisville again, that's going to be fun. And then NC State, Auburn, like you said, should be a good game as well. Isaac, before we let you go, as always, we're going to need the Shady play of the day. What's your best bet in college hoops tonight?
All right, there's not a great slate tonight. We're not to Big Monday season yet. Also, my wife stole my sunglasses in my other car, so I've got my blue light regular glasses on. Whatever, it'll play, it'll work. Everyone bear with me. Tonight, we got some Philly action going on. Temple, Villanova, the Wildcats favored by 12.5 in this thing. I know that's a big double-digit line. I just actually don't think that's enough. Villanova actually starting to do a little bit here under the fighting Kevin Willard regime. Bryce Lindsey, 19 points a game, leading the Big East in three-point percentage. My guy, PJ, 47.8% on 7.7 attempts a game. Duke Brennan is leading the nation in rebounds at 14 a game. Caden Lewis, one of my favorite freshmen in the country. Give me the Wildcats by 15 in this one.
All right, very good. Big 5 matchup tonight in Philly. Should be fun. Isaac Shade, give him a follow on X at Isaac Shade. Check out Locked On College Hoops and Locked On Heels podcast as well. Isaac, always great having you on, my friend. Great talking hoops with you. Enjoy the week, and we'll catch up again next Monday.
Sounds great, PJ. See you then.
All right, man. Great stuff. Isaac Shade, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In, and let's talk some games I would bet right now. It is a Monday. Let's dive into some of the NFL and college football games coming up later this week. All right, let's start in the NFL. Lions-Cowboys on Thursday night, which is a monster game. Probably the loser of this game can kiss the playoffs goodbye. Right now, the Lions are actually plus money to make the postseason at BetMGM. They're plus 115. Dallas is still like plus 300. So, again, Dallas wins, they're giving themselves a chance, and they're going to be favored in their final four games the rest of the way. If the Lions lose, it's going to be tough for Detroit because they also have the Rams upcoming next week on the road in that game as well. This, to me, is a classic buy low and sell high, right? Dallas is starting to play a lot better. And now after the whole world got to watch them in that Thanksgiving game against Kansas City and the way that they're playing, everybody's buying in. You also got to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving Day against the Packers lose that game at home. Lions have been struggling as of late. They easily could be losing three straight games. If they didn't, they lost the Eagles game. They should have lost the Giants game. And then they lost the Packers game last week. Amon-Ra got hurt on like the first series of the game. Obviously a huge part of their offense. So keep an eye on his status for this game. I think now that we're down to three, though, and they're pricing Lions-Packers the same way that they're pricing Lions-Cowboys to me, that I don't agree with. I think it should at least be four, maybe 4.5. I think this is a nice buy-low spot here on the Lions. Everything we were saying last week about why I like the Lions in that game against the Packers at minus 2.5, I thought it was a nice buy-low, little bit of an overreaction. Green Bay played really well. Love was great. They made the necessary plays. But I think this game against Dallas, people are just a little bit too high right now on the Cowboys. I like the Lions at home. I don't think this game should be priced the same as what the Lions-Packers game was, so give me Detroit minus 3 against the Cowboys. Ravens and Steelers, I think you guys know where I'm going in this one. I told you to take the Bengals last week, plus 7. I told you to sprinkle some money line against Baltimore. Probably do the same this week with the Steelers. I'd certainly take the 6 against the Ravens. Both teams coming off horrific performances. Lamar hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 3 straight games. Now, again, if Likely doesn't fumble going into the end zone, if Zay Flowers doesn't get called for that push-off, he probably throws for a couple in the game, maybe changes completely. So those are stuff you always look at, right? Like these game-changing plays that lead to maybe the score being worse than what they actually were. But the Ravens are a mess right now, and it all starts with the fact that they're not running the football. Rasheen Ali had more snaps on Thursday night than Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell. Again, this has always been my biggest problem with John Harbaugh. It doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is, he always abandons the run in big games. And what I'm afraid of is after watching that Bills-Steelers game last night, and all the Bills did was run the ball down the Steelers' throat, is the Ravens will come out and overthink it and just try and throw the ball. If they use the game plan that they did in the playoffs last year against Pittsburgh, then they're going to cover this number and they're going to win easy. But if they mess around, if the Steelers force turnovers in this game like they normally do against the Ravens, then Pittsburgh's going to hang around. Massive game, both teams 6-6, tied atop the AFC North, first of 2 matchups this year. I think this game is going to come down to the end, so I like the Steelers plus 6. And then I think this is a great teaser week in the NFL. You have a lot of massive divisional games. You got a lot of good games between good teams. And the Jags at plus 7.5, I think, are the ultimate teaser leg this week, right? This is for first place in the AFC South, this game on Sunday between the Jags and the Colts. Indy has lost 10 straight games in Jacksonville. They've not beaten the Jags in Jacksonville since 2014. So instead of trying to bet who's going to win this game, because it's going to be close and it's going to be a coin toss, I'm just going to bet the Jags and bump it up over 7 because it's going to be a one-score game. We saw how close the Indy-Houston game was last night. I think it's going to be the same thing in Jacksonville. The Jags just about play everybody close. Indy's been playing everybody close here as of late. So Jags in a teaser, +7.5. I absolutely love it. And then I'll tease them with the Bills on the money line against the Bengals, who are 6-point favorites. So I just tease the Bills to win the game. Again, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's back. Now everybody's starting to get excited. The offense looks a little bit different. Maybe T. Higgins comes back from the concussion. The Ravens turned the ball over 5 times. That's why the Bengals won that game. Their offense was inept. The Bills are not going to have the same issues, especially with the way that they were running the ball against Pittsburgh. They had both of their tackles out in that game, too, against the Steelers, and it didn't matter. So if they get even just one of those guys back or both, they should be ready to roll. I think it's a little too much overreaction to Cincinnati, and we're putting too much stock into Burrow being back, when actually the reason they won that game is because their historically bad defense forced 5 turnovers against the Ravens. So I like the Bills to win that game, and I tease them with the Jags +7.5. As for some college football championship weekend, of course, 2 games I've already bet. There are a couple games I'm still waiting. I'm hoping to get a 3 with Bama against Georgia. I'd like a 14 with BYU against Texas Tech. There are some numbers out there. But at the current numbers, my favorite bet is going to be on Friday. Kennesaw State -1.5 at Jacksonville State for the Conference USA Championship. This is one of those conference title games that's being played on campus, so it'll be in Jacksonville, Alabama. Kennesaw State's been an unbelievable story this season. This is their first year in FBS football. They were predicted to finish 2nd to last in Conference USA. They've won 9 out of their last 10 games. They've only lost 1 game in Conference USA play, and it was to this Jacksonville State team on the road. But you know what? They turned the ball over 4 times in that game, and they still only lost by 9. So if Kennesaw State can take care of the football, if they can play good defense, I think there's a reason why they're favored in this game on the road. They're the better team. It's hard to beat a team 2 times. I think Kennesaw State gets the win. You just want to take a -120 on the money line, totally understand, but I like a -1.5 against Jacksonville State. And in the Big Ten title game, #1 versus #2, I'm going to lay the 5.5 with Ohio State. I'm not going to overthink it. I think anything under 7, even if this goes to 6, 6.5, I think it's a good bet. Anything under 7, I'd lay it with Ohio State. That defense is so freaking good, man. I just don't know how Indiana's really going to score many points in this game. And then on the flip side, I think Indiana's offense could have Indiana's defense could have a tough time slowing down that Ohio State offense. They had to deal with the elements. They had to deal with some snow. They had to deal with a little bit of wind in Ann Arbor on Saturday. Going to be none of that when you're playing inside a dome in Indy at Lucas Oil. So Ohio State, they should be fired up. They should be ready to go. Indiana obviously is too. But I think Ohio State's going to prove why they are the best team in the country. Indiana, the 2 games that they have struggled with this season were that Iowa game and the Penn State game. The 2 games against the 2 best defenses that they have faced all year. Iowa's got a good D. Penn State's got a good D. They're facing the best defense in college football. I like Ohio State -5.5 against Indiana. All right, let's talk a little college football top 10. We get the playoff rankings and the playoff bracket tomorrow night, and then we get the real thing next Sunday to figure out who the final 12 teams are going to be. All right, Ohio State and Indiana are obviously the top 2 teams, right? Buckeyes are +185 at BetMGM to win it all. Indiana is +500. Those are the 2 best. I like Ohio State to cover, win the game on Saturday. I think those are the 2 best, but I'll put Ohio State at 1. I'll put Georgia at #3. They are 10-1 to win it all. Georgia, you know, that win against Georgia Tech, I really wouldn't look too much into it. They didn't really want to show much. They ran the ball a ton. What I like about Georgia, though, is how much better their defense is getting. So Georgia, I think they're a pretty good team, and I'll put them at number 3. Notre Dame, I'll go with them at #4. I know there's a lot of talk about whether or not Notre Dame should be in the college football playoff. I think right now the reason the committee has them over Miami, and head-to-head should matter. I think if you're comparing those 2 teams, they played, Miami beat them, Miami should be in. But the reason I don't think the committee's doing that is because Notre Dame looks really good. Now, they're not playing anybody since Miami and A&M. I mean, the best team they've played is USC and Pitt, and we just saw Miami smash Pitt as well. So that's the big problem with Notre Dame, is we really haven't seen them against any elite team since they played Miami and A&M. But man, with the schedule that they have played and the teams that they have played, they look really, really good. And I think if Notre Dame got into the college football playoff, they'd be a team that'd be capable of winning it all. I'm going to put Texas Tech at number five, actually. I think the Red Raiders are really good. That defense is awesome. That front four is spectacular. It's all going to come down to the quarterback and Baron Morton. But again, when he has played this season, Texas Tech has beaten everybody by 23 points. No 7-point wins, no 10-point wins, not even a 17-point win. They are annihilating everybody that they play. It's a reason why they're a 13.5-point favorite against BYU. That thing opened up at 10.5, and all we've seen is one-way action all the way up to 13.5. So Texas Tech, we've been talking about this team on this show. It's a dark horse. It's a team nobody wants to play. And if their offense, Baron Morton, can make some plays, I'm telling you, Red Raiders is going to be a tough out in the playoff. Number six for me is going to be Alabama. Another great, tough, hard-fought win. That's what the Iron Bowl of Jordan-Hare is. It's always close. It always comes down to the wire, but they find a way to win. Kellen DeBoer with the stones to go for it on that fourth down, not kicking the field goal, but going for the touchdown. Ty made some massive plays on third down, the touchdown throw to Horton, and then the fourth down touchdown throw to Horton. Ty Simpson just got that it to him. You know, like, he might have some series or he might have some throws that aren't great, but I don't know if there's a quarterback in college football I want more in crunch time to try and ice away a game or win a game than Ty. He's just got that it to him. Bama's defense has been playing much, much better. And Ryan Williams didn't do a damn thing, really, on Saturday. He was benched, it felt like. I mean, DeBoer really hardly played him. So if they can get him going again to add to that receiving core, I think Bama, that Bama-Georgia game, as we know, is going to be fun on Saturday. Number seven, I'll go with Texas A&M. If you look at all the teams in the SEC this year that had either a 500 record or a winning record in SEC play, Texas A&M only played one of those teams, and it was Texas, and they lost by 10. The rest of their schedule, it was Florida, and it was Mizzou, and it was Arkansas, and it was Mississippi State, and it was Auburn, and it was all these teams that were terrible this year in conference play. Outside of Notre Dame, we finally saw A&M play a legit team, and they lost. Now, I kind of think the Aggies losing that game to Texas benefits them because they get some extra rest. They're going to get a home playoff game. And on their best day, they're good enough to beat anybody. But I think that was a big wake-up call for them going into a hostile environment, playing against a talented team, and losing. I think a loss was the best thing for A&M. But again, in all these road games, they've been able to score 35, 40 points. When they're not able to do that, I don't know if they're going to beat some of these top teams in college football. Number eight for me is going to be the Oregon Ducks. I'll put them eight, Ole Miss nine, and we'll go Oklahoma at 10. Oregon, super talented. The more I watch Dante Moore, the more I like him. I actually think if I had the number one pick in the draft, I'd take Moore. He makes big-time throws, and he makes some clutch throws as well. And he's a good athlete. He's a good decision maker. I still don't love the Ducks' defense, and I have a little question mark. We saw what happened when they played against Indiana, but I think the Ducks are a solid team. I'll put them at eight. Ole Miss, I'll put down at number nine. I love the offense, but now with Kiffin gone, the OC gone, receiver coach gone, all these offensive coaches gone, that's obviously going to hurt them, and their defense isn't great to begin with. So it'll be fun to watch Ole Miss kind of rally, come together, watch that fan base, that university, all just gel and try to make it work. They're going to host a playoff game most likely, but Ole Miss got to drop them to nine. I mean, losing Kiffin and all those offensive coaches is a big deal. And then Oklahoma, by default, I'll probably put that in the 10. You can honestly put Miami there. You can put Texas there. I mean, they probably feel like better teams at this point, but that Oklahoma defense is so good. So good. One of the best in college football. And I think that defense is enough that they can really beat anybody in the country because of that defense. If their offense just makes some kind of plays, they can hang with some teams. So I'll put Oklahoma at number 10. All right, let's talk some Monday Night Football here. on Send It In, a little primetime Peach. Not much for me in tonight's game. I really don't love it, to be honest with you guys. Patriots are favored by 7.5. Total in the game is 46.5. New England's a -375 favorite. The Giants are +300. Talked about how much I love the teasers this week in the NFL. I think you could start it off with this game. Tease the Patriots down to 1 and pair it with the Jags. Pair it with the Bills. Pair it with Steelers +12. Any of these divisional games, really, I think you're good to kind of pair the Patriots -1 in a teaser. But 7, you know, it's gone down from 7.5 to 7. It feels like this game could be similar to what we saw Broncos Commanders last night, where the spread, like the entire game, it's right around the number, and then it comes down to the fourth quarter and it's going to be a bad beat or it's going to be a heck of a win either way, coming down to maybe the last play, backdoor cover, those kinds of things. We know the Giants have been really good this year against good teams on the road, up on the Bears in the fourth quarter, the Broncos, they upset the Eagles, right? I mean, they nearly beat the Lions. So they've been competitive against these good teams. They haven't been able to hold on to leads, though. I think the Patriots win. I think it could be close, but I like the Patriots in a teaser at -1. I'd also look at Drake May over 22.5 rushing yards against the Giants. The Patriots have a bye week coming up, much needed bye week. They haven't had one yet. The Giants haven't had one yet either. So they get the late week 14 bye week, need the rest. But I think because of that, and Drake May knowing he has the extra week, is going to use his legs and take off and run. So I like Drake May over rushing yards. Then I also like Travion Henderson anytime touchdown at -125. Even though you have to lay the juice, I think it's worth it. He's been really good these last few weeks, and against that Giants run defense, I think he finds the end zone. So Travion, -125. I like that price against the G-Men. All right, a BetMGM promo we got to tell you about here on Send It In. It's Pro Football Same Game Parlay Boost Token. You've thought out the parlay. Now boost it. Use this boost token on any Pro Football Same Game Parlay and grab a bigger payout if you win. Make it legendary at BetMGM. Download the app today and please gamble responsibly. All right, before we wrap the show, let's talk some NFL futures bets that we got. We will start, Shawnee Sharp, cover your ears, my apologies. Bears to miss the playoffs at +270. I just think the price is too good. And what you're looking for is for the Bears to miss the playoffs, like who are they playing teams that can get tiebreakers over them? Are they playing teams that they're battling for the division for? And the answer to all of those is yes. They still have to play the Packers twice. They still have to play the Lions again, who they already lost to. So if the Lions beat them again, that could be a massive tiebreaker. They have to go on the road and play San Francisco. That's a massive tiebreaker. What's insane about the Chicago Bears is that they're 9-3, but the Detroit Lions, who are 7-5, aren't in the playoffs. So as great as that win was for the Bears against the Eagles, and as massive a win as that was, they can't keep their foot on the gas. They got to keep going because, again, they're still going to be underdogs in 4 of the final 5 games that they play. And the other team they have to play is Cleveland. And we know the Bears like to play low-scoring, ugly, sloppy games. And they're going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. So I don't think even that Browns game is going to be all that much of a blowout either. I think the price is just too good to pass up. So I'll take Chicago to miss at +270. How about the Texans to miss the playoffs as well at +115? I mean, look at what the odds are telling you at BetMGM. The Colts are -285 to make the playoffs. The Jags are -400, and Houston is -140. Not all three of those teams are making it to the playoffs. The Jags and the Colts are certainly in better shape. The Texans play the Chiefs this week on Sunday night in Arrowhead. I think they're going to lose, and I think that plus money's only going to continue to go up. So I like Texans to miss the playoffs. Speaking of the Chiefs, I still like them to make the playoffs, you guys. 5 games left. They got to win them all, but they are 3 hardest games are at home. Broncos, Chargers, Texans, and they get the Raiders and the Titans on the road. Chiefs, plus money to make the playoffs, +110. I'll take it. And then give me the Chargers to miss the playoffs. Again, a lot of these are correlated with each other. Chiefs make, Chargers miss. I'll take them at +115. Their final 5 games are insane. Eagles this week, then they're at KC, at Dallas, home against Houston, and at Denver. Brutal stretch for the Chargers. And then finally, Bears miss the playoffs, which means the Packers win the NFC North. I think they win on Sunday, so I like Green Bay minus 140 to win that division. And those, again, a lot are correlated, but I think you can make some money fading certain teams and betting on certain teams as well. Real quick, let me tell you about my favorite plays for the day. We talked about pretty much all of these, but Drake May over 22.5 rushing yards against the Giants is my prop lock. NBA will take the Chicago Bulls as my dog of the day, +8.5 against the Magic. Just feels like too many points. And then my best bet, Patriots -1.5, Jags +7.5 in a teaser. Lock that bad boy in. And even though we got to wait till Sunday, hopefully next Sunday to cash it, like that teaser between New England and Jacksonville. Thanks again to Isaac Shade for joining us today on the show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.